Mr. For Sale by Owner, I'm not saying you should hire an agent. I'm not saying you should consider working with me. I'm not saying we should meet this week or next week. All I'm offering is XYZ. You see? And over a conversation, as you start throwing that stuff in, what we're doing is we're making suggestions to them, subconscious suggestions. Because remember, the subconscious mind is going to accept whatever you say after the don't or shouldn't, or you don't need to, you don't have to, right? And when you're doing this repetitively over a 10 or 15 or 20 minute conversation, it starts to create an effect. Yeah, there we go. Arthur, subliminal communication. When is now a good time to get started? There you go, right? Yeah, I'm not saying you have to sign the contract when we meet. That's good, Alden. Because when we start layering this thing, like, look at the way it's said. Hey, I'm not saying. I'm putting my hands up, right? My voice is going up. I'm implying it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Hey, I'm not saying you should sign the contract when we meet. No one's going to stop you and say, wait, you're giving me a subconscious suggestion to sign the contract. They don't know. They have no idea. But that's what their mind is doing. Sign the contract? No, don't do it. But it had to first conjure up the image and thought of signing the contract, right? This is why when you do like a listing presentation and you say something like, now, are you guys ready to start packing? And then you pause. Well, not today, but soon. When you start your closing like that, what did you do? I subconsciously gave them an image, start to pack. You guys ready to start packing? That creates an image in their mind, right? Because everything that you say, people are running a movie reel in their mind all the time about what you're saying in your words, especially, I mean, in person, of course, but especially on the phone too. Just like when you say hello to somebody, they've already conjured up an image of your likeness and what you are just by you saying hello through your volume, your tone, your voice, how you said it, your delivery. They already have a conjured up image of what they think you look like. There's reality and then there's eidetic, E-I-D-E-T-I-C, right? We learned this in NLP. There's two types of imagery, right? The real one and the conjured up one that they come up with, right? And the ones that people come up with are what they ride on, meaning what they base their information, decisions, and actions on. It's that one, not necessarily the real one. You want to create an equal one for them, but they're always going to go with this. Because that's what they identify with the most. Yep. Our voice is an extension of our personality. Absolutely. Just like your voice, if you didn't know, to you, right? So my voice to me is the most hypnotic voice on the planet because it's my own voice. It's the most influential. It's the one I hear 24/7. Right? Now, other people's voices can have effects on you too. If many of you find yourself, like Cesar said, some of the stuff that I'm saying, he's thinking, probably, especially if you heard it from me years ago, it's probably been caked into him from listening to it so much, whether from me or somebody else. Because a lot of the stuff that I even think in my mind now is my own organic thought was something that was put in years ago by listening, reading, events, whatever it is. But now I feel like it's my own voice, but it was literally caked in there. Cool. Who else wants to share some of this negation, right? Because I want you guys to start using this stuff. I want you to participate a little bit. Give me an example of how you think this could be used, whether through your voice or typing in the chat, just so I can make sure you guys get this before I move on to the next point. We got to make sure you guys are using these techniques, because when you learn a lot of this stuff, typically in like a classroom format, it's just given to you, given to you, given to you, and there's no application. So you want to make sure that you're getting some reps in while you're learning so you can really assimilate the information. Go ahead, anybody.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me? Hey, bro. So just going back to like the beginning, which you and Alden were talking about, like mindset, I think it's really crucial that we all like really, really like take time to put our mindset in, like at the beginning of the day, throughout the day, before calls. Because when you had mentioned about like, you know, take a character and imagine yourself like in the same room with them, I instantly like imagined you. I remember when I was a kid, I remembered I would watch a cartoon called Yu-Gi-Oh! And that character, he would like transform using like a prism, like right before a duel, and he would be his ultimate self. And that's what I automatically thought, like that inner mind voice that talks to you. You got to be that beast. If you're not, then you're just going to get chewed up out there. And that's just the foundation of it all, you know? So yep. I just wanted to spit that out real quick because, yeah. And that was it, yeah.
Yep. Jonah said, I'm not saying you should hire me. I'm not saying you should sign the contract. Exactly, right? Exactly. Now, again, these aren't standalone lines that you say once and suddenly they're going to work. These are things that you embed and cake into your scripts and your dialogues, and you become comfortable using them so you can throw them in. Now, if in a 10 or 15 minute presentation, I use 5 or 6 of these, now I'm starting to subconsciously influence somebody, right? So as an example, if I want to create a desired effect, I lace that into my language. You know what? You may find today that the longer this presentation goes, the more comfortable you're going to feel. And I'll say that in the beginning. And then maybe 2 minutes later, you're going to notice yourself starting to feel more comfortable with the pricing. Now, I threw it in with pricing there, but I said, notice that you're going to start feeling more comfortable because I want to create a more comfortable state within them. And if I'm lacing that in multiple times throughout my presentation, in addition to my regular presentation, now I'm creating a particular effect that I set out to create. Right? The best authors and poets and people that are speakers do this. Most of them probably aren't even aware of it, right? But you do this to a degree, right? This has been decoded again. So we asked about syntax yesterday. That's an example. You take that word, that line, that language command. That's an example of syntax. A sequence of words said in a certain way, delivered a certain style to create a certain effect. That's what we're looking to do here. So when we say, don't hire me, don't sign the contract, right? That's a particular syntax, but it's used in a particular sequence, meaning the don't or the negation aspect needs to come first, and then whatever the command is comes after, right? Cool. Any other questions on that, y'all, as we continue?
So, Brian, we're speaking to their subconscious mind, not their conscious mind, correct?
Well, you're doing both, when we talk, yeah. All these words are doing, the words that we use and all that, it's just occupying your conscious mind. Right. And everything else, the delivery, the volume, the tone, the eye contact, our positioning, the body language, like all those other things that we've discussed, that's ultimately what's communicating to you the most and either drawing you to listen more, comply more, or not be interested in what we're talking about. Right. So all these messaging and things, think of it this way, y'all. You're occupying the conscious mind, but yes, most of your communication is subliminal or subconscious. You're doing both. But the weight of it is in the subconscious one. Because what we're doing is we're creating an effect. For somebody to listen to your presentation for 20 minutes and sign and feel confident about it, keyword feel, you need to create an effect on them. We can't just logically show up and say, well, this is why you need to sign with me, Mr. Seller. I'm the number one agent. I've sold 100 homes. Da, 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 da. We know that's not going to work because that's purely logical. That's conscious. You should choose me because XYZ.
That is right, because I feel like, right, because I feel like we go in there trying to speak to them consciously, and consciously they want to sell the home, but subconsciously they're cautious with who they hire to sell the home, and their subconscious is in a fear-based state, and it feels like they don't want to work with you as an agent.
Yeah. See, but that can be remedied with proper communication from top to bottom, because one of the cool things about this is when this is done properly, you create a logical and an emotional case, because we use razor sharp language, but we also create a particular effect. And you even said it, I feel like, bingo. That's how most people talk. You know what? Everything looked good with Brian, but I just felt like he wasn't the right agent. Bingo, feeling. So subconsciously, I didn't communicate properly. I didn't inspire that feeling in them. They didn't want to use me, no matter how good I was on fucking paper. I don't care how smooth the words are that you say, if you're on the phone or in person and you can't create comfort and a good feeling in people, they will not talk to you. As an example, right? I'm at the door because this is one of the lessons I wanted to cover today. If you're too close to people, it doesn't matter what you say. They're not going to want to talk to you and they're going to be repelled. If your body language indicates I am seeking rapport with you, sir or ma'am, or whatever the fuck you identify as, right? Then it's not going to work. Why? They're not comfortable. You've broken the cardinal subconscious rule of personal space, which is one of the rules here when it comes to speaking to people. There's two aspects, proximity, meaning how close we are, and then the angle of our body. If you guys are going to initiate conversations with people, always be at a 45-degree angle, or next to them, not facing them shoulder to shoulder. If any of you were standing in front of me and I walked up to you shoulder to shoulder, the moment I get within an arm's distance of you, what do you start doing naturally without even thinking about it? You back up. That's subconscious communication, repulsion. Therefore, whatever I say, you're not going to listen. You're just going to be like, whoa. This is why when people just approach us on the street abruptly or come up walking to us like that, we're already like, whoa, they want something from us. Right? So once we're in rapport, I can face you. That's fine. But I can never come in seeking rapport or breaking that personal space. I'm sure all of you have that one friend or you know that one person that when they talk to you, it's like you're the mic and they're right in your face. You're like, bro, I can see the food in your teeth. Get the hell away from me. Because they don't understand the unspoken language. Right? Just like the same example where I walk up to you face to face and you feel intimidated or like I'm in your personal space. If I swung around and got shoulder to shoulder with you, you would feel zero pressure. And I talk to you like this. Hey, quick question. You wouldn't feel anything, but the moment I turn and face you shoulder to shoulder, face to face, you're going to be like, whoa, body positioning, right? This is, again, is subliminal, right? So when you're door knocking, when you're in person, this is it. Same rule. If you guys sit down with a client, why the hell would you sit across the table from them? That's interrogational. That's awkward. That's, we don't know each other. We don't want to touch. This is a first date. Ha ha ha. This is weird. I don't care if I meet with a friend, a girl, business, everybody sits diagonally from me. Or if it's two people, at least one of them sits diagonally from me. Ideally, the decision maker is right here because we're comfortable. Whatever your dominant hand is that you write with, you meet with them on that side at an angle. I'll literally tell people, don't sit there, sit here. And people will just comply. Even if I go to their house, Mrs. Seller, why don't you sit here? Mr. Seller, you sit here. I've never had anybody say, no, we want to sit across from you ever. And if you want to be smoother, Mrs. Seller, go ahead and sit right here. That way, when we start going over the pricing, some of the details, you're close and you can see. And you will notice a drastic difference in the interaction when they're here diagonally from you versus interrogation across from you. Because right away, when they're across from you, you're going to be like, wait, where do I put my arms? You're going to start feeling weird. It's awkward to do that. How does a police officer interrogate you? Across, because they want that pressure on you. They put the light on you. They dim all the other lights and they're like, all right, tell us a story. And you're like, oh shit. I remember what we talked about yesterday. If you're nervous or you did something wrong, you start talking fast and right? But these little cues are huge, right? So as an example, if I'm going to utilize some of these techniques, like while I'm going door to door or I'm doing stuff in person, one of the easiest ways on a subconscious level to build a tremendous amount of trust and comfort with somebody is to be able to effectively and strategically break the personal space, like in quotes, violate it for a second and then come out smoothly. So let's say I'm door knocking, right? And I'm talking to somebody and I have a flyer, right? Or we're just out on the street, right? This could be either one. And we're talking and I have something. If I want to show it to them, I don't hand it to them. What do? Instead of walking up to them shoulder to shoulder, I get next to them shoulder to shoulder and I show them the paper. Now, what's added to that? If you guys ever want to break tension, meaning make body language and whatever's happening more comfortable, draw attention away from the move to something else.